I think this might be my favorite Christmas hymn. Go Tell It on the Mountain. I like that one too. But Charles Wesley knew his stuff. And we were just singing of it, verse 2, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. God in the flesh, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, God in human form. In verse 3, it says, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. He came to this earth, he humbled himself, to heal us, to save us, so that we can live forever. That's Christmas. Whatever else you do this week, whatever traditions that you have, that is Christmas. God humbled himself so that we can live forever. What a blessing. And that really isn't what my sermon is about today, but it just kind of hit me as we were singing it. We continue on in our series of making Jesus the Lord of our life. He is the Lord, whether we recognize it or not, but the important thing is to recognize that he is the Lord of every area of your life. We're not just Christians on Sunday morning, we're Christians every day of the week. And there have been books written about the difference between the sacred and the secular. Well, guess what? Everything's sacred. Everything you do, every area of your life, everywhere you go is sacred, is holy. And Jesus is Lord out of every part of it. And really making him the Lord of your life is recognizing that he's in charge. I occasionally hear parts of the Christian church, you know, saying things like, you know, whatever you want, whatever you think you need in life, just ask God for it, name it and claim it, and it will be given to you. And that almost seems like I'm his Lord, doesn't it? He's my errand boy. No, he's not. He gets to do whatever he wants and tell me to do whatever he wants to do. He's the Lord of every area of life, and I am a thankful servant. It's okay to be the servant of the Lord. To be a servant of a human is a tough thing. Right? To be a servant of the Lord is a great thing. So we're going to be reading in 1 Corinthians 6. Before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you guide us and you lead us with your word. And Lord, we pray that your word would be honored as I preach and as we all listen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to read a couple verses out of 1 Corinthians 6. As we go, I'll give you a little bit of the context. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So, what I'd like to start with is just to get you to think about it. It says that you are the temple. That is a huge statement. And we might not completely get it because we're not living in a time where they actually had a temple in Jerusalem. The temple's been destroyed for hundreds, thousands of years, actually. But to call a person a temple was a really big deal in that day. And that would have opened people's eyes to something. And I've gone over this before. I'm just going to review it really quickly just to give you an idea of how they use the temple in the Bible. Because in the Old Testament, the temple, we might think of it. I've heard people say, well, the temple's just like the church. And it really isn't, because the temple, they didn't come into the temple and worship inside the temple. No one went into the temple except the priests and the Levites, one particular tribe of Israel. They went in to care for it and maintain it. The people did not come inside the temple. And the temple was a building about this size. And out in front, like say where the bell is out in front on the lawn there, they had an altar where they would offer sacrifices. And the only way to approach God and his great holiness was to offer an animal sacrifice. And then in the back of the temple, or I don't know if you call it the front of the temple, in this part of the temple, they had a room called the Holy of Holies, which was blocked off with a heavy curtain. And God's Spirit dwelled on earth inside of this space. And it was so holy that you can only approach it once a year, and only the high priest, and only after he had offered a sacrifice and was sprinkled with blood. That's what the temple was. And the people would have been outside. So we would be on South Main Street and in the parking lot over here and over in Charlotte's yard. That's where the people would be. Okay, so people didn't come in. If this building resembles anything, it resembles a synagogue. Synagogue means a gathering place. So the church is more like a Christian synagogue. It's not a temple. Okay, but then something changed when Jesus came. When Jesus came and died on the cross, the curtain split in two. God's Spirit now dwells inside of people because the final offering, the final sacrifice has been made by Jesus. So we no longer need to bring sacrifices to praise God and to be in relationship with God. We don't need to do that because Jesus is the final sacrifice. So now you and I are called the temple. The place that no one could go in except once a year, we are now called the temple because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And that's been made possible by Jesus. Praise God. Right? I mean, that's a great thing that we can walk around with the Holy Spirit with us. But think about it this way now, though. What does that mean? It means that everywhere you are is a holy place. Everywhere you go, whether you're at home or at work, whether you're at friends, whether you're in your car, whether you're climbing a mountain, whatever you are doing, you are in a holy place because the Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And so think about that. I've heard people come here and say, well, if I came to the church, God would strike me with lightning. And I'll tell you what, he can strike you wherever he wants to, in your house. It doesn't have to be in church because the building is not an extra holy place. It's all holy place. Right? And I've heard people say, well, we shouldn't lie in church. And it's a joke. I've probably made the same joke. But the fact is, you shouldn't lie anywhere because God is everywhere. And it's no different if you're in a building with a steeple. That doesn't make it any more special. Now, I'm not saying this building isn't great. We're thankful to have it. I'm thankful that we have a building, especially in December. That's a good thing. I'm glad we have walls and a roof, and we're thankful for it. But make no mistake about it. You, the church, are the temple. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit living in us. And our behavior and our attitude and our words should not change whether we're in here or whether we're out there. And I will tell you, that is something that's been carried over from the Catholic Church. We have Catholic friends and we love them. We love those people. But sometimes there's teaching that isn't correct. And they will teach that the building is holy. The building's not holy. I'm holy. You're holy. Remember that. So it doesn't matter where you are. We could have a worship service outside and God would still be there. Have you ever gone up to the Cathedral at the Pines? All right, you can worship up there. You can worship in your backyard. You can do, you know, I've done wedding services and funeral services in various locations. God is there too. So, but it's very important for us to understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So then what does that mean, though? How do we apply that to our lives? Well, think about this now. If I am a temple, I should take care of myself. If God's Spirit lives in here, I mean, they were to take care of the temple in the Bible. There's a whole chapter in the Bible about what the temple looked like, what it was made of, the craftsmanship and everything. Just what that looked like. And earlier in chapter 6, it talks about what you eat, what you put in your body. Take care of yourself. I might be sounding like your doctor right now, right? But take care of yourself, what you put in. And, you know, I'm not going to give you a list of do's and don'ts, what you can and can't eat, because God has made Jesus has made everything clean. We can eat. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, stay away from the Edo food group. You know what that is? Dorito, Cheeto, Frito, right? Stay away from that particular food group, right? But take care of yourself. Exercise when your doctor says that. Why you do that? Some of us do it because, you know, we're psychotic like me sometimes, but you should do it to take care of your body because this is a temple. We want this, we want our bodies to last as long as we can so we can serve God as long as possible on this earth. So we take care of ourselves. And the other part of this, too, is doing with your body things that honor God. And this chapter has to do with something And we have a mixed age group here, so I'm not going to go into the details of it. You can read it when you go home in chapter 6. But what you do with your body, are we doing things that honor God with our body or dishonor God with our body? And there's lots of things that could fit into both of those categories. How am I using my body? And there's another thing. It even goes beyond just your body, because think about your brain. This amazing thing that scientists are still struggling to understand how your brain works. How about what you think? I want to read a passage to you from Philippians. Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So our actions, our words really start with a thought, right? Everything starts with a thought. And let's pray that we can think about things that honor God. I remember a man telling me once, a young man, actually a teenager, teenage boy, told me once that before he goes to bed, he prays that he will have good dreams. I thought, what a great prayer. And at the time, I'd never thought to pray for that. And I think I shared with you last week or the week before that I have really weird dreams. They're just crazy. And, you know, how about praying, Lord, I pray that I would honor you in my dreams. And I've asked myself the question, if I sin in a dream, do I need to confess that? Maybe the next night during the dream you confess it. I don't know. But if you're feeling that compulsion, you probably should. But let's honor God with our thoughts. Let's honor God with our words. Last week I read from Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth or out of your keyboard. How about that? Because that's how we communicate, or your thumbs. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your thumbs. That's how we would retranslate new versions of the Bible as people text and Facebook and Instagram one another, right? Let's honor God in everything that we do. How about what we see? What we look at. Well, you can't always help what you look at, but you can help what you stay focused on for a while. And Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, don't do that, okay? That is an expression that Jesus used to talk about the severity of sin. We would have, everybody in this world would be blind by this point. But the idea is this, if something causes you to sin, you got to remove that thing from your life. That's how serious sin is. So it really affects every area of our life. And here's something to remember. It says in this passage in 1 Corinthians 6 that we were bought at a price. This temple was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. He expects his temple to do things that honor him. When you buy something, you expect it to work, right? For the purpose that you bought it for. When you buy a new car and then all of a sudden it breaks down, that's not a good thing. And you take it back to the dealer and you say, look, right? Jesus bought us with a price. We are supposed to do things that honor him. Now, as we read this, I don't want you to think about this as, okay, I'm just giving you a bunch of rules of what you can and can't do with your body and with your mind and with your words. I don't want it to come across as this. But the idea that I'd like you to think about is constantly be asking this, how can I use my life to bring glory to God? You've been given different gifts and different abilities and different strengths and different things that you can do with your body, with your mind. Use those things to bring honor to God. And, you know, I think about it like with musical talent. I think about things that I don't have. And sometimes I just watch Mike and Mark over here, and I'm just amazed. And, you know, Mark will be over here, and he'll be playing a song and not looking at the lyrics, and he'll be talking to someone else. That blows my mind. Right? That's just, I don't have that. I don't think I could practice for 100 years and I don't think I would have that. And this is, I try to tell my kids this. You have different gifts and abilities. How are you using those to honor God? You know, I think about Caleb, and a lot of you probably don't know this, but he has musical talent. He has ability. He does this weird thing where he will start to sing a song and it will be the right notes. Really? On key? It's just amazing to me. It just comes in at the right time. And he does this other really strange thing that's totally foreign to me. He has rhythm. Like, he taps and he, you know, he bobs his head and it's at the right beat. And, you know, for me, you know, sometimes we do songs where people start clapping, and I don't really clap, and here's why I don't clap. I cannot clap and sing at the same time. I'm not joking. I'm serious, because if I start clapping, it will be off. It's just not a gift that I have, and, you know, everyone in my family makes fun of me, but I'm amazed that my son has these gifts. And what I've told him is this. I said, God's given you that. Use that. You know, he loves the sport. I should probably, at some point I have to stop talking about my kids before getting permission, but he's downstairs. I've said to him, look, God's, you obviously love sports. You love to do all those other things, but God's given you this other ability. You really got to use that to serve him and to take advantage of that. And it's not just musical gifts or athletic gifts. Some of you have engineering minds. Some of you are good with your hands. Some of you are creative. And there's all these different things, these ways that God has made us. And as you think about that, God has made each one of us a walking temple, thinking and breathing temple, but he's given us all different gifts and abilities. How are we using these gifts to serve him? But before we get to that point, here is the point in all of this, this entire series, and this is the last Sunday we're doing this series. Before you get to that point of being the temple of the Holy Spirit, you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what starts it all. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, that means the Holy Spirit has taken up residence and is changing you and making you more like Jesus. And so how do you get to that point? You get to that point by repenting, which means turning away from sin and turning toward God and putting your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord and trusting him and giving him your life. And you do that and he comes into you and he changes you. And you have relationship with him forever in this world and in the next. And if you've never done that, today is a great day to do it. You can say, I did this the Sunday before Christmas in December of 2015. And if you'd like to pray, let's pray now. And it's not about saying a magic prayer. It's about really believing it and saying it. Lord, say this with me if you've not done this before. You can say it out loud or silently. Father, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins and give my life to you. And I put my faith in you as Lord and Savior. Take my life, Lord. Make me more like Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time with feeling, with meaning, and you gave your life to Jesus right now, this is a big day. You have just started your life out as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you just did that, or maybe you did that 50 years ago, and you gave your life to Jesus. If that's the case, now let's live for Christ. Let's serve him. And I think about what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, a few chapters down the road from the chapter we're reading. Whether you eat, or whether you drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever it is, we have been given the gift of life. Our body is a temple. Let's use it to serve him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you that you are the incarnate deity, God in the flesh. You came to us and humbled yourself so we can live. And Lord, I pray that we would do things in our bodies, in our lives, that bring honor and glory to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.